The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a character named Han Solo, a rough-and-tumble smuggler who, with his sidekick Chewbacca the Wookiee, stumbled across an aged Jedi Knight and his young apprentice. Of course, he knows nothing but profit and smuggling and looking out for himself, but on the occasion in which this group were swallowed by the giant Death Star space station, and the young apprentice discovered that a damsel in distress named Princess Leia Organa was in need of rescuing, Han Solo wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, when he was told that they are going to execute her, he responds rather selfishly, "Better her than me." Eventually, he's persuaded to rescue her with a promise of a great deal of wealth, to which, of course, the princess notices, "If money is all that you love, then that's what you'll receive." And later, the young Jedi apprentice observed that the only thing Han was good at is taking care of himself. But over time, Han's attitude changed when he realized that all this was not just about him and taking care of himself, but about the great rebellion against the evil empire. And almost metaphorically, in falling in love with the cause of the rebellion, he also fell in love with the symbol of that cause, the princess herself. So transformed was he by this that, in another occasion, as he stepped forward to what would appear to be giving his life so that the rebellion and the princess could be protected, the last words he said to Chewbacca with regard to the princess was, "The princess, you need to take care of her now." While not an exact parallel, I can't help but see a similarity to the words of Christ from the cross. "Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And from that day forward, the disciple took her into his home. Han Solo learned that this was not only about him, but had so transformed himself that he engaged in a selfless act to protect a cause bigger than him and a love he had fallen into with the princess. In today's gospel, we see two disciples who, at least at this point, see the association with Jesus as something that would bring about their own advancement. It's interesting how the gospel makes the distinction between the two, James and John, and the 10, not the 12, but the two and the 10. The 10, who later made fun of the two for their ambitions in front of Jesus, but especially James and John, who, what was their question? "We want you to do whatever we ask of you." And the request is, We want a place at your side, one at your right, the other at your left. Association with Jesus was how close you could get to him, what position you could have in that kingdom that is to come. But we know from the teachings of Jesus what this is all about, that ultimately it was not about them, nor was it about the other 10 calling to task those two, that ultimately it had to be a giving of themselves. I'm always amused at how Jesus kind of plays the con artist in today's gospel, because he basically suckers James and John in their ambition to endure the kind of baptism and death that Jesus would. He recognizes they're anxious for advancement, and he asks them, "Can you drink the cup I am to drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And eagerly they say, "We can." To which Jesus promises, "Well, you will, but hate to break it to you. The place at my right and left ain't mine to give, suckers." Because basically he played upon their ambition and their ignorance. But we know that it was one that he had complete faith in, because he knew the men he had chosen and he knew where they would go from here. And we honor these apostles as the great founding fathers of our faith, the founding fathers of our church, commissioned by Christ, and each and every one of them engaged in great suffering and a martyr's death, because they too grew to understand that this is not about them and their advancement, but about total service to the gospel and total service to Christ. And in the case of John, it is the tradition that he was the beloved disciple who stood at the foot of the cross, and it was to him that Jesus did say, "Son, behold your mother, mother, behold your son." We come as well as followers of Christ, and we live at a time, and perhaps it was always a phenomenon with people who followed Christ, we see it with the apostles, we see it with ourselves, in which people come with a disposition that is less than full devotion to the gospel of Christ. Let me just give you a few modern examples. You look around and you see how empty the churches are these days, how many people don't come to Mass on Sunday. And if you were to ask them about why they don't come, in addition to such comments as, "I'm too busy," brackets, "to take a day of rest," you might also hear them say things like, "I don't get anything out of it," as if this was all about them. "I think Mass is too long. I didn't like what the homily said in today's Mass. I don't like some of the teachings of the church." And for those who do come, among my favorites are, "I don't like the incense. It makes me cough." As if all of this was about you. As if all of it was about me, the priest. But again, we are reminded that as we come before God, as followers of Christ, to give that worship, we may come with our own selfish dispositions. After all, I've often asked, why do we come to Mass, of both children and adults? And more often than not, I'll get some answers such as, "We receive grace. We get the Eucharist. We get things." But how often have I heard the answer, "To give this time to God, to give worship to God, to listen to the word that God gives us as we receive his Eucharist." In the end, Jesus reminds us, it's not about us. It's not about you being in the pews, just marking time and fulfilling an obligation. It's not about me being the center of attention as the leader of the worship. It's not about any one of us, but rather the time we give in worship to Almighty God. In being followers of Christ, it's not about what we agree with or what we like or what makes us comfortable, but it is our hearing and answering Christ's call to total conversion of our lives, because in the end, it's not about us, it's about him. And so we see that kind of transformation in some of our most beloved heroes, even down to today, even someone as unlikely as Han Solo, we see that transformation in a still beloved and very popular character. We acknowledge the transformation in the 12 apostles. Let us acknowledge that transformation in us. How much do we still approach this faith of it being about us, it being about me? And let us make use of this grace of God's word and make use of the grace of the Eucharist we receive to let that grace transform us into people whose focus in following Christ is not on what it does for me, while we know what awaits us in the end, but ultimately the focus is on Christ and his will, his call for us to follow him and put him as the forefront of our lives so that we can be baptized in the baptism with which he was baptized, to drink the cup from which he has drunk, to take whatever God has in store for us as his followers, because in the end, it is not about us. It is about him, and it is about the call he gives us all, ultimately to unity with his heavenly Father.